Buenos dias. Good morning. Thanks you guys for being here today. I'm a little bilingual, yes. I speak a little Spanish. But thank you guys for being here. Love what God is doing. And just, I really feel just an expansion and just a stretching just in my spirit for what God wants to do, not only in this church, but also just in the community. And you're part of that. And so I just want to just thank you guys for being a part of what God's doing. You know, when God brings in a vision, he gives it to a leader. And that leader's responsibility is to pass it down to the people that he's doing life with and for them to catch it. And so hopefully you have caught the catching of what God is doing here, because if for any length of time, you know that we've been challenged to step out and to do things out of our comfort zone, because we really feel like God is doing something on a larger scale here at TCC. And so if you've come just wanting to be part of a kind of a small thing, that's just not what God is doing here. God is doing something on a bigger, bigger scale. And that takes time to build, but it also it takes people to do that. And so when God brings in people, he is also asking them to take part of the vision and actually do something about it. And so even as Missy said this morning, whether it's giving of your time, getting involved, and last week as we reiterated, getting off the sidelines and not just sitting down anymore, but actually getting into the game. Yeah. Because it's a lot better to play in the game. It's a lot funner. When you're watching it from the sideline, there's something inside of you that says, man, I wish I could just get in there and just do something. If you're hurt, that's one thing. And honestly, let's take a little sidestep on that. How many of you have never been hurt, hands down? Okay, we've all been hurt, okay? So if you're using that excuse, you're missing out on what God has called you actually to do. Because everyone can has a story, they have an excuse of why they can't be involved. But God is not looking for people who are perfect. As a matter of fact, if you would just step out and do what God is calling you to do, he's got a way of starting to heal those hurts. Because he knows that if you start getting outside of your comfort zone and actually getting involved with the flow of his spirit, that he's able to bring healing in your life because you're willing to step out in faith and actually do something and not use an excuse of why you cannot do it. And so there's a difference between you being like injured and like hurt. Like you are just bedridden, you're on the couch, I cannot get up, as opposed to I got my feelings hurt or I bruised my toe. I would say, and God would say, get up, ice the toe, and get back in the game. Because honestly, how many of you would actually do that at work? Don't answer this, but how many of you actually would do that at work? Because there's a money or paycheck riding on whether or not you go to work or not.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Correct? Mm-hmm. And you don't like to admit that. But you go to work because in response to that, you get a paycheck so that you can live. Mm-hmm. And look at your life. How many of us use that excuse where it's like, well, I don't really feel like I'm going to get something out of giving my life over to the Lord because of what it actually entails. And in reality is that you have to change your perspective on the fact that God, number one, has given you the ability to get that job in the first place.
That's right.
So that you can actually go out and create wealth for your family. And so anything that God has given you, he expects you to be a good steward of, but just remember where it came from. And so now he's asking you to get involved in the game and actually do what he's asked you to do and actually go the distance, go the extra mile, and get outside your comfort zone and actually do something for him. And so I believe that God is calling us to get off the sidelines and do it. And I would venture to say this, that people who serve are happier.
Yeah.
If you're not served, you're not involved in doing something, not even just with your church, with your community, you're missing out on just the joy of serving and the blessing that comes with it. Because you'll begin to see God in just different facets like you've never seen him before. Because God is a mover. God just doesn't stay stationary. God is a mover. He is doing things. And so it's our job to get in the flow of what he's doing and actually start moving with him. And so if God is pushing you to do something, guess what? God is already in that situation or about to do something, and he's wanting you to get involved in it because of what he's about to do. And so it's not about, and I've said this before, about God getting involved with you, though he will. God is asking you to get involved with what he's doing because it's not your life anymore. It's his life. And so now the life that you live by faith in the Son of God who gave his life for you. And so when God says go, we go. And when God's leading you to do, it's for a reason, because God knows there's something on the other side that you need. And sometimes even more importantly, there's something that somebody needs from you because you're carrying it. And God has already prepared the heart of that person for them to receive it. And it's just a matter of you being obedient to get in that position, because God has been repositioning them to hear what you have to say. And so if you will just get out of the way and then get in God's way with him and allow him to take you where you need to go, you'll begin to see God do some supernatural things in your life, because God is already tilling the soil of people's hearts. He's just waiting for someone. He's waiting. The harvest, man, it is plentiful. He was looking out. It is so plentiful, but the laborers are few. I am praying, God, where are the laborers? And God is asking, where are my laborers? And that's why the Bible says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers, Eric. He wants laborers going out. He wants workers. He wants people going out doing the work of the ministry, not just taking it in and receiving it, even though it's good and you feel good. He wants you going out to work. That's why it's beneficial for you to have a good work ethic. You talk about work ethic. Well, God's not a worker. God is a worker. He called Adam and Eve. He said, stay in the garden. Till that ground. Work that ground. So do it. Conquer it. And so even till today, God is at work in your life. And maybe you're here right now saying, well, I think God has left me. God has not left you. He has not left you. He is at work in your life right now, either doing one of two things or many things. And we could say, actually, many things. That he's getting you ready for what he wants to bring you into. Or he's just waiting for you to be obedient for the last thing he asked you to do. Because God has already actually performed the work. The work is done. The table has been set. He's just asking you to get to the table. And as you're eating, take what you're eating and going out and actually start delivering it to other people. Because you don't want to just roll around with everything you got inside of you. You want God to use you and God to deflate you so that you can actually come back in and get more of what God wants to give you so you can go back out. That's what this is all about. God, when God gives me something, guess what? I give it out. And so it's the same way. It's just a cycle that takes place. And the more God gives you, the more responsible you are to actually give it out. And so when he asks you to do it, some of you right now are on hold. And God is just asking you to wait on me because I'm downloading some stuff in you. And it's not even for now. It's for later. And I'm doing something in your life. Just hold on to me and press it to me. And then eventually we'll be able to release that thing into your life. Because there's a time and there's a season also for things that God wants to do. Things in your life. God all of a sudden one day does say, listen, I want you to start a church. Start it tomorrow. God, there's a process in it. You've got to go through a lot of breaking. There's some shaking. There's some things that has to take place. God has to reposition people. God has to bring people in. God has to bring people out. And so there's just a change that takes place. It's the same way in your life. When God says, I want to bless you, guess what begins to happen? When God decides to bless you, guess what? All hell breaks loose. People say, I'm out. I'm not staying. I can't go. People start to get crazy. People who you thought were with you say, you know what? I'm feeling it. I don't know. I need to leave. And it's just God all of a sudden just shaking things up and saying, all of a sudden they like you. Now they don't like you anymore. It's because God is doing things in your life to get people where they need to be. He says he's got the king's heart in his hand, and he wields it any way he wants it to go. And so God will make people like you. He'll make people hate you, all to accomplish his purpose. Isn't he great? And so if things are happening in your life, and people are leaving, and they're jumping ship, and you don't know what's going on, praise God. God is bringing his purpose in your life and bringing people to where they need to be. And so that's just the way God is, because if it was comfortable, you wouldn't move, and they wouldn't move. Because you guys have this thing going on. And the one thing that God does not like is comfortability. Does not like it. He will continue to come after you and ask you to challenge you and change your perspective and do something different. He will do it. He doesn't like stagnation. He wants progress. He wants your faith building. He wants your wings growing. He wants things changing in your life. And so beware, and to know even right now, if God is bothering you and stirring up your nest, praise God. He wants to produce faith in you, and he wants you to go to the next level in your life. Praise God that you're not the same. Praise God that he doesn't want you to stay the same. Praise God that he wants you to jump off the cliff and say, God, just catch me. Because he knows, as well as you know, you get tired of the same old thing. And so if you've been crying out, God, give me something different, all God is doing is just answering your prayer. He just said, well, why'd you answer this one? Because it requires faith. And so when God goes to answer a prayer, he's going to answer a prayer that requires faith and requires that he actually has to help you actually do something. That's where faith is. So jump off the cliff. I'm not a cliff diver. You will be. For what God has called you to do, you will be. Because there comes a time in your life where God will push you toward the edge and you will have one or two choices. I either got to go or I got to go. You have to go. Because God knows something that you don't know. You build your faith as you jump. It takes faith to jump. But your faith is exercised and grows on the way down. Because you know, if God don't catch me, I'm not going to make it. And that's what God is asking you to do. He's not asking you to get all the details. All he's asking you to do is just jump. It's just, listen, the plane is up in here. The door is open. We talked about rising this year. You are right. The plane is open. The door is open. It's time. The Lord says, it's time to jump. I can't jump. It's time to jump. You have to jump because this plane cannot land unless you jump. And so, you got a choice. Thank God for people who push you when you couldn't push yourself.
That's right. Amen.
When you saw the opportunity and there was something inside of you that said, I just can't do it. Thank God that you were in community or there are people around you who came up and gave you a nudge and said, you know what? No, you're going to do this. Because this is what God has called you to do, and this is what it means to walk by faith. And so their faith and their encouragement gave you the ability to actually take the step. That's why it's important to be involved with people who you're doing life with, who are a little bit ahead of you, and who are doing things maybe that you want to do or that you see, because they can help give you the eyes that you need to see to actually start to take the steps. And in reality, sometimes we say, listen, you just got to jump and just trust God in this thing and let God take care of the rest of where it needs to be. God's not going to give you all the details. He just doesn't do it that way. That's why the Bible is clear when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path or make your path straight. How many of you understand and know what that means? You can't reason or necessarily understand what God's doing all the time. He says, just trust me. Lean not, because I have something for you to do. And so, praise God, you're in here. Thank you, God, for just pushing us and getting us to the ability where we need to go, because it is exciting. It's exciting. So, I may not make it today to our message, just so you know. May not make it. I know some of you are like, man, I really like Corinthians. Okay, so, okay. You more like, you like the Word of God, yes, but sometimes I know we can get a little wordless with things. But I just feel that God's just taking people to a new place and a new level, and sometimes it's okay for us to talk about what that looks like and really what it doesn't look like in our life. Because when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it is true. The just shall live by faith. You are called now to live by faith, not by sight. And that can be something that's very scary. Because you are looking at difficulties and circumstances and reality. And when you do that, it makes you, instead of rise up in faith, it makes you sometimes cower back in fear because you ask yourself, how can this be because of this? And so sometimes what you have to do is you have to say, let faith rise up. How appropriate with that song today. Oh, heart, believe. You have to let faith rise up and say, okay, I'm going to let faith rise up. And as I do that, I'm going to come into agreement that my heart's going to say, you know what? This is actually, I can do this because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And when that partnership takes place, all of a sudden you begin to lift off in your life and you can do things, but you have to let that faith rise up. Sometimes we don't let it rise. We don't. It's there, and God says, listen, I've given you the ability to do this, but sometimes we don't want to do it. Because we're tired. We don't believe that it actually can happen. And so when God finally says, no, now the door's open, now it's time to jump, sometimes we don't want to jump. Because we've waited so long for breakthrough, we've waited so long for the jump. That we say, you know what, I don't even know if it's worth the jump anymore. But thank God that he continues by his Spirit just to quicken you and give you the ability to believe that he's still good. And that you actually can take a step into the next place where you need to be in your life because of his faithfulness. God will accomplish his purpose in your life. And more than that, he will accomplish his purpose in the earth today. In the earth. And so that means that if you're part of the earth, that God wants to use you to accomplish his purpose. And until we can get that mindset that it's his purpose, not ours, I think we're going to struggle in our life. You're going to struggle anyway because you're in this body, you're in this flesh, you're in this tent. But it's harder sometimes when we can't really align ourselves with God's purpose because his purpose is not ours. And we have to trust him even though we can't see him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go into 11 Corinthians today. I'll give you a little bit. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. This then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with the mysteries of God as revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Everybody say the appointed time.
Appointed.
Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. And you know by now, I'm a little bit better when I'm in series and I have the ability to create. So when I go into a book study, especially of the Bible, and I have to narrow it down, sometimes it limits me in what I actually can do. And so that's why I bring in a little bit of both, okay? Because I'm a little bit more effective sometimes where I can go outside of what we're doing into a subject as opposed to here. Because we can spend like literally like all day just dissecting Scripture just because of what it looks like. Especially in the book of Corinthians, as Paul is writing to a church who is newly birthed, who is very immature, who does not know and really understand what it means to walk by faith yet. They are really walking by sight, and culture is having a huge effect on the church, and they are really beginning to follow leaders in the church. And Paul, as a good father, is writing to them and saying, stop following the leader. You know, when you were growing up, the whole process was follow the leader, whoever the leader is. They're at the front of the line, raise their hand. You follow the leader because they're the one who's been appointed there to get you to where you need to go. But Paul is writing and saying, hey, listen, let's talk about this idea of leadership and understand first and foremost that Apollos did not die for you, I did not die for you, and Peter did not die for you. And so let's bring it back to where it needs to be. And if you haven't been here over the last several weeks, you can listen to the message or go back and read over the first few chapters of Corinthians. Understand that Jesus is the only one that we can follow because he's the only one that we can trust. And Paul is trying to bring them into perspective and help them understand what it is to follow Jesus, as well as at the same time have leaders who are leading you. If you don't have a right perspective on that, you can get your faith just messed up. Because you can be so bent on what you're receiving from men or people that you forget that your number one source is Jesus Christ. Because no matter what you receive from people, you still have to butt it up against the Word of God and use the discernment of the Spirit of God to whether or not what is being said is confirmed with you or not. Because the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to bear witness on the inside of what is being said. And so that's why we follow leaders, and we love to follow leaders because God has raised leaders up to lead. But at the same time, if you are not looking over the leader's head to the leader, then you can miss it. You can miss it. Because sometimes leaders get it wrong. They're leaders. Learning to lead. And so in a situation like this, Paul begins to say, hey, listen, one who has been given a trust must be proven faithful. He goes down later on into the scripture and talks about what it actually looks like to follow Jesus. Understand that what you need to understand about me in my life is the fact that I am called to do something that not everybody can do. So don't envy me. Don't envy Apollos. Don't envy Peter. Listen, regard them in high esteem, as we should. But don't envy me for the fact that because there are things that God has placed in me that I have to do that you wouldn't want to do. Because I have to be proven faithful in order to continue to do this thing that God has called me to do. And how many of you know, and you've read Paul's accounts, Paul did not have an easy life. Paul was shipwrecked, near death. He fought wild beasts. He had a hard life. But he proved himself faithful, so now that today we read his two-thirds of the New Testament because of Paul. Paul wasn't a perfect man. We know if you read manuscripts of Paul, Paul could have been very harsh and very direct, but he was willing to do what God called him to do, but he had to prove himself faithful in order to be able to do that. And he's trying to help the Corinthians understand, hey, listen, you're newly birthed, the church is birthed, don't look at these leaders as they're your hope and security. Understand, I'm trying to put myself in perspective, Paul says. You don't want what I have. You don't want it. Because each one, God has graced them to do a certain thing. So when God has called you to do something, It's one thing to admire in someone else what God has called them to do, but you don't want the grace that they have to do what they have to do. You want the grace that God has given you to do it, because their road is not your road. And for us to take off our shoes and for me to take off my shoes and say, okay, does he come in and walk in my shoes? It would kill her. Because number one, she's not a man. Number two, she's not called necessarily to walk in this position. Okay? She's called to walk in her grace and what God has given her. And so there's a mutual respect for the office that's there. There's a mutual respect for her and me as me being a leader and also me being her husband. But at the same time, she'd be the first to tell you that she always lifts over my head to Jesus. It has to be that way. Just as my responsibility is to the Lord and for my family, then her responsibility is to submit to me. And so when we have all that in unison, it's amazing how things fall into place. I'm not perfect, but when I'm submitted to God and attempting to do what God's called me to do, guess what? There's peace here. And then you know what? My kids rally around me. My kids will start to, they're more loving. They come up and they're caring. They just rally around me. I'm just doing what God's called me to do. There's agreement here, submission, and then the kids. And all of a sudden, the family unit is built up. And so in our own life, don't envy what someone else has. We can admire. There's a difference between admiration and envy. I mean, I really want what that person has. Okay, are you willing to go through what they went through to get it? So that's why my first point today is this, is look away. Look away. When you look at the scripture, Paul says this word judge. Where do you put that word judged up there, if you could for me? There should be a definition in there of the word judge. If it's not there, I'll read it from here. Well, it's not there either. But, okay, this is what it means. The word means to actually, if you look at it, to gaze from down to up on somebody. Like, I would look over you and be like, like, I'm checking you out, but not in a way that necessarily I'm attracted to you. But in a way like I'm judging you, like, and who you are. And so what Paul is saying is that God's going to come back and reward everyone according to the motives of their own heart. And so what you have to do is that you have to stop staring so long at people, and every once in a while you got to look away, man, Jesus. You can't. It's one thing for you to come to church and to receive, and it's one thing for you to listen online to preachers, and everyone does that, and it's okay. But you have to, every once in a while, turn that thing off and turn over in your relationship with Christ and allow Him to confirm or deny what you heard. And so He can lead you to where you need to go in your life in order to better facilitate His purpose in your life, and you don't get thwarted by what's coming out of someone's mouth. Now, it doesn't mean you can't get encouraged, because how many of us get encouraged? Yeah. Absolutely. We get encouraged. Yes, that was great. I felt like that was for me. But guess what? When we leave, our relationship with the Lord is still primary, and He's the one who navigates the word that was spoken and puts it in the positions of our life and the spaces of our heart where it needs to go, and it does what it's supposed to do so that we can continue to follow in the purpose of what God has called us to walk in. That's the position of us having a proper balance of perspective when it comes to following leaders. You can disagree with what I have to say, and that's okay. But we can still walk in unity, and that's okay. Because you still have your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're responsible for it. And that's how it's supposed to work. And that's why Paul's trying to help them understand, hey, listen, it's not about this whole party. It's not about, hey, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, and you throw in any big name you know. I follow them, I follow this. Really? Okay, well, that's cool. But your relationship with God should be number one, Paul is saying. Because He's the one. Because at any moment, that person that you're following, God could say, I can bring him down. How many of you have learned that lesson?
Yes.
I've learned it years ago.
Yeah.
You were going well. All of a sudden, and all of a sudden, they moved.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, hey, I just think it's better that we part ways. It's not you, it's me. Or someone you were following leadership-wise did something that caused your view of them to come way down. And in reality, all that happened was God allowed you to see how human they were.
Yeah.
so that your eyes would stop looking at them like this and stop looking over and say, I can't trust them totally. I got to trust Jesus. That's why there's that limited amount of trust that's there. I love you and want a relationship with you, but there are levels. Let's be really honest. There are levels. And that's the wisdom that God gives. There are certain boundaries that God sets in place for a reason. There are certain people that are not in your life for a reason. There are certain people in your life for a reason that God allows you to only go so far with. And so that's enough, because God knows that if God unchecked, it can begin to have a negative effect on your life, because that's not good for you. He knows where the weakness is, and the enemy knows where the weakness is. That's why we talk about it all the time. Be careful in your weakness that you don't gravitate towards something that's unhealthy and that begins to bring you down into a place in your life you don't need to go into. Because the enemy will prey on your weakness as well as someone else's weakness, and all of a sudden you've got two people coming together who are weak. It's a recipe for disaster. There are certain things that you have that complement me, and vice versa. But our ultimate need and our ultimate hope needs to be in Jesus Christ, because He's the one who can help sort it all out and help us get to a healthy place in our life. That's why we talk about this all the time. We're about being emotionally healthy, so that we can understand it's not about the leader, it's about the leader. But hopefully you're following a leader in your life, whether it's your husband, somebody at your job, your church, who you feel like you can trust and who's God given you the ability to be able to say, hey, listen, it's okay to trust that person. It's a good place to be at. Is this okay for you today?
Yes.
Sometimes we get so spiritual that we forget that there are some things that God has placed there for a reason. Case in point, how many of you have gotten around certain people and say, I just don't get a good feeling about that person? I'm so smart. No, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's giving you.
That's right.
It's like, I'm so smart. Okay? No, you're not so smart. The Holy Spirit's giving you wisdom. Say, hey, listen, hold on. Check up. Come back a little bit and just give that over to me.
Yeah.
Don't pursue it. Oh, I have a check. And listen, and honestly, let's be honest. The former you would try to test God. And say, is that really a check? Because they look good, and they have what I need. And so we test God and say, well, if it's not God, then who will help me to get out of it? I'm going to try it anyway. And then you learn a lesson where you got pounded. And God said, let's step right back out of that. Learn that lesson. Let's not do that again. And so you know what that looks like. That's why it's there for a reason. And so when you feel that, go with it.
Yeah.
You're not crazy when you have a sense of, I need to watch this for a minute.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't mean you're any less spiritual.
That's right.
If anything else, it means you are spiritual.
That's right.
Walking in that discernment in your life. And for a reason. And how many of you, God has shown you after the fact, things have happened,
yeah,
and you said, thank God it didn't. That's why God is so good. That's why your trust has to be in Him. How can two walk together unless they agree? Yes, we can walk in agreement together, but I respect Malia enough that she has her own relationship with Jesus and that she can do right when God has asked her to do something, and there's a respect here. Okay? And we can do life together. No unhealthiness, because we have an understanding that our relationship with Jesus Christ is most important. And so if that is most important, then everything else around me that I attract, I want those same type of people around me, and I want that same type of healthy attitude to be around me.
Amen.
I'm not trying to attract negativity.
Right.
I want to attract healthy. Mm-hmm. And so when I don't see healthy, it turns me off.
Yeah.
But it also gives me a heart to say, okay, why is it that way? You see, there are some things in your life that God has helped and freed you from that is going to call you to heal, help heal. And so there are things that you see that are out of balance or a little out of whack. Maybe God's calling you and leading you to help maybe bring some wisdom in that situation so that person doesn't fall into some of the traps that you fell in, and so you can help lift them up to a healthy place.
Right, good.
Hey, listen, I've been there, don't do it, come back. Because God will take you out. Because you know that we talk about destiny and your future, it's always tied in some way to your past. Always. Always. God has freed you from something, taken you through something. God's going to use that in order to be able to help you redeem someone else in their life. That's just how good He is. So follow the leader. And God knows where you need to go. But look away. Isn't that, it's amazing though. Have you ever had, you've had this happen in your life. It's hard to stare at something for too long. You can't do it. You can't. Because I believe that God has made it that way so that we're always focusing and coming back to where He is. Because that's why we're here. That's why He created all this, so that perhaps we would reach out to Him. That's why He's here. And so we look at things. That's why when you talk to people in certain levels, you talk to them and you don't make eye contact for any length of time, because then it comes weird, right? When it's like past 6 seconds, you're like, okay? You're like, you see, but then you have to, some people like to get in there a little bit. And like when you're not really looking at them, they like to get in and be like, what's up? You're not looking at me. I'm like, well, it's for a reason, because I'm uncomfortable right now. Whenever two, okay? We had our stare, we locked eyes for a little bit, but we're gonna move on, okay, from here a little bit, okay? Because it just gets awkward, because that you become in the space of someone else. And God designed, that's even a boundary. God designed it that way. Because it's all pointing back to Him. Lord, you're my hope, you're my trust, thank you for these people, but it's thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're my hope. Where are you leading me, Lord? Thank you, Lord. That's why you always have to be looking toward Him. Now, if you got someone who never looks at you, then it's a deeper issue. You walk around, they just walk around in circles when they're talking to you. How you doing? I'm doing great. Doing really great. I mean, we're going to look at, I'm right here. Now, how you doing? I'm doing great. Okay, then we have other issues we got to deal with, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Not just about the creepy guy across the room who's staring at you and like, now that is, you know what I'm saying. Okay. So look away. Look away. Second thing is this. We talk about God judging motives. Only He can do it. So there are people who do things in your life you don't quite understand. So God's going to come back and reward everyone for the work they've done. And they will receive their praise from who? God. And God will judge you. Evaluate you based upon what He's asked you to do. So I cannot fairly judge Sharon. Right. Who am I to judge Sharon? Right. I can have an understanding, or possibly, man, I maybe see this going on in Sharon's life, okay? Because inside the church, sometimes it's good to hold each other accountable, especially if you're in a relationship with one another, there's accountability that's there. But ultimately, I can't judge Sharon's actions, because ultimately she's going to be judged by Jesus Christ. So that's why when we talk about there'll be some people in heaven that you didn't expect. Yeah. You're like, uh-oh. I'm going to see him again. Yeah. You might. And then vice versa. The people you thought were really spiritual, you may not see them.
Yeah, that's
true. So that's why you've got to leave it up to the judge, capital J, for the one to come down and say, okay, alright, I saw what you did. I see the motives and why you did them, and God can rightly divide what the motives were. Because we do things, we're not perfect, and Paul said, listen, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't mean I'm innocent.
That's right.
There is deceit that's bound up in my heart. The Bible says that guard your heart, because out of it flow all the issues. There's deceit in your heart. We do things because of certain things.
Yeah.
And only God can get in by His Word and divide that up. And the Holy Spirit, by shining some, only He can do that.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's important that when you look at people, you might be able to evaluate their life, but you can't get in with a fine-tooth comb and a spotlight and try to get down on why'd you do certain things. And listen, case in point, time out. A good counselor will say, okay, listen, I understand that. Now, what do you think that means, or what do you think God's trying to show you?
That's right.
Because they'll always point you back to Jesus. Christian counsel. So we got to let Him do it. Third thing, Rhea, put it up for me. Got to stay the course. One of the toughest things to do in your life is when things are not going the way you want them to go, or you feel like God is doing something differently, than what you thought he would, it's for you to stay the course with him. Because he knows the way that you're supposed to take. And at the end of it, the result will be what he wants it to be. But you have to stay the course. Wizard of Oz was a great movie. I think everyone in here has seen it. Okay? The Elephant Road was great. Okay? It led to the Emerald City. It was wonderful. And along the way, there was a scarecrow, it was the Tin Man, and the Lion. But there was that pesky little witch who tried to come in all the time and thwart the progress that was there, because inevitably they were going to get what they needed, but they had to follow the Yellow Brick Road in order to get there. And it's the same way in your life. There is a road that God has lit up for you to follow. But there is a pesky little enemy who is out there trying to get you sidetracked and try to thwart you from where you need to go, because he knows that if you get to the Emerald City or get to where you're trying to go or get to Jesus, then you're going to get to what you need. That's why the fight is over you getting to him. It's always that. That's why distraction is a big thing for him. It's huge. Yeah. Because you feel what God has called you to do. You can sense it in your spirit that all of a sudden he throws up. Remember that?
Good.
Yep. Remember how it didn't work out? Remember how you felt when it didn't work out? Remember that, and all of a sudden that comes up, and you have to fight whether or not I'm going to continue to trust with God, because the thought of you going back and going through that again kills any thought of you wanting to have progress or joy in your life, because because honestly, he might be right, we think. The natural self says, you know what, he's got a point. But I've seen too much of Jesus, I've seen too much of his goodness, that I'm going to continue to walk in my life, and it's okay. Thank you, witch. Thank you, enemy, for coming on this side. I'll see you again later. And then as you go a little bit further, guess what? Now he's on the rooftop, about ready to throw a fireball down on you. In a different position. You've met who you need to meet. The scarecrow you already met. Now you met the Tin Man. He's got no heart. And all of a sudden she comes back. Now you got two or three gathered, and he's also there. Just because you're in community with people does not mean the enemy's not going to try to come in and divide. Right. That's what he does. If I can divide them, I'll scatter them. Mm-hmm. Yep. But you got to be strong enough in your faith to understand what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And thwart that dart that he's trying to throw in and resist it, because you're together and say, you know what, no, we're going to keep walking. And they kept walking until eventually she throws a whole army of monkeys. It's not just her. Now it's the flying monkeys, man, are coming out. Crazy things. Ripping the scarecrow apart. You know, doing something with the Tin Man. Just crazy stuff. Each level, something different. Each level. Just try to stay out of my way. I'll get you, my pretty. Remember that was the original?
Yeah.
And she ended with, we're throwing the whole army. All over slippers.
Yeah.
Women in their shoes. And the funny thing about this is this. The enemy already knows he's defeated. Already knows it. So the only thing he can do is try to get people to turn from the one that defeated him. So that he can get their loyalty, because he's still upset that he didn't get the position that he wanted. And rather than be okay, now God has given him a little bit of rain down here. And so instead of just being okay with that, he wants everyone to come down with him. Just come on, we're going to throw. First of all, we're going to do this. I'm going to warn you. I'm going to get you eventually. That's what the enemy sometimes brings out. I'm going to get you eventually. Goes away for a little bit, come back in a different position, a different season of your life, and try to bring in something else. Sometimes it brings something out of your past when you're about to walk into your destiny and say, listen, you haven't really wrestled with this yet, have you? And God really forgive you of this? And then you'll wrestle with that. And instead of really keeping your eyes on Jesus, you'll look back, and now you're starting to fight something from your past that God never intended you to fight from your past. It's just the enemy brought it back up, And instead of you really focusing on Jesus, now you're wrestling two things. You're wrestling your past, you're trying to wrestle where you're going in your future, and it's pulling you apart, and it's tearing you apart. And so you need to really get into a position in your life where you understand, if my past is the past, I accept it. Listen, today I want to help you. You need to just accept your past. I accept it. I did some stuff. Yeah, I was crazy. Yeah, I did it. Thank you, Jesus. His blood is good. He's going to use it. He's going to redeem it. So that doesn't keep coming back up again. I'm not going to wrestle that again. Every time I'm about to, no, it's over. Thank you, Jesus. You can continue to try, but I'm going to continue to go forward. And then so he'll come back and test you a little bit further. The closer you get to where God wants you to be, guess what? The finer the test gets.
That's right.
And God will allow it just so you can see how far you have come. And just so you can really understand the enemy and where his place really needs to be.
That's right.
And what authority that you've been given in your life. If Dorothy would have known that throwing a bucket of water on the witch would have killed her, who would have knew that? And by the way, when we saw that movie, would have killed her. She probably would have done it earlier.
Right.
How many of us in our life? If you would have known what it would have took to defeat the enemy, you would have done it earlier. Rather than fight over things that I've already been fought for.
That's right.
And fought for. You would have done it earlier. But God in His grace has allowed you to see, okay, the growth in your life, and to know that you don't have to go back to a place that I've already freed you from.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Good.
Already freed from. I've already sharing. I've already given you the wisdom. You've got a brain.
Yeah.
I've already given you a new heart.
That's right.
And you have the courage to do what I've called you to do.
Right.
And you know where your place is. Mm-hmm. It's with Him. There's no place like home. Absolutely. There's no place like being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm home when I'm with Him. So where are you at today? Where are you at on the course? Or do you feel like you're closer to, man, I'm really about to break into something in my life? The Emerald City is like right around, I feel it. Or are you still back at the beginning of where the enemy's throwing some stuff at you? And it's okay. We got people at different spots in here. You've got people at the beginning just about to take the journey, and the enemy's like, we'll see. I'll get you. And we got other people in the middle. You are doing life already with people. And the enemy's trying to come in and divide
mm-hmm.
what you got.
That's right.
And then we have some people about to hit the big one. About to really walk into what God has called them to do. And it's not just the enemy. He's got the whole army of his cohorts coming in and saying, we're going to wreck this whole thing. We're going to get him, and we're going to try to put him to sleep in some poppies, and we're going to do the whole thing. So we're trying to get it all. And then because it's right there. But God is good, whether you're in the beginning, the middle, or the end.
Amen.
But wherever you are, move forward.
Amen.
Don't look back. Munchkins aren't coming anymore. They're gone. You don't need them. You've got the people who you need to do life with. Do life with them. Until God moves them on and brings you in a place where you need to be. Always keep your mind on Jesus and what He's doing. Keep your head over the leader. Keep your head over the gang you're with. And say, okay, God, where are you calling me to go? And continue to walk in that thing. And as you continue to do, just know the enemy threats are going to come. But you're stronger than that. You've been through too much in your life. You know where you're going. Your home is not here. It's there. You know what God has called you to do. You know what God has equipped you to do. Continue to walk, and God will give you the grace to do what you need to do in your life. But stop messing with something that God has already forgiven.
Amen.
Let's all stand to our feet. You've got a new mind. You've got a new heart. And you have courage. The Bible says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You already got it. And sometimes all God is asking you to do is just face up to the problem. Just stand up to it. Exercise your faith. Use what you have already to defeat it. Because inevitably, I'm going to defeat it for you, and I already have. I'm just trying to see whether or not you have the faith to believe that what I've already put inside of you is necessary for the fight that you're against. That's all I'm trying to get you to see. I've already placed it inside of you. Everything you need is already there. So just rise up, and what I've given you, start working at it. I don't care what it is, guys, in your life. Sometimes it just might be, I just got to throw a little bit more love at it. It's not the way I need it to be. I got to throw a little more love. If some of you are dealing with debt, sometimes I just throw a little bit more money at it. If you're not seeing certain results in your relationship, throw a little more time at it. If it's something in your relationship with the Lord, throw a little more faith at it. Sometimes it's just a matter of a little bit more. And then when you do that, all of a sudden, God begin to do it. Jeremy, put some music up for me real quick. So here's a practical example for you. And how many of you're in a relationship, you've been in a relationship before, of where the feeling has run out completely, or run out in your relationship? You're like, I love them, but the feeling's not there. It's not there. It's amazing what happens when you choose to do something when you don't feel like doing it.
That's right.
You call forth those things that are not as though they are, and there's something that takes place when I do it in faith that begins to work in my favor. As I choose to do it, all of a sudden, it's amazing, that feeling comes back in my life. That's why God doesn't want you relying on feeling in your life, because feelings come and they go. It's a choice whether or not I'm going to continue to walk in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And guess what? As I begin to do that, the feeling has a way of coming back in and slapping me in the face. Like, oh, there you are. He doesn't want you relying on it. The feelings are great. Joy is greater. I don't feel like getting up. Do it anyway. It'll be amazing the strength that you'll get just to go do it. Your breakthrough is predicated not on the fact that whether or not you feel like doing it or not. Your breakthrough is predicated on the fact of whether or not you're going to do it without feeling it. I'm going to do it. And I believe that God has asked you, some people in here, to do things even though they don't feel like doing them. Just do them. Because I'm going to bring you to a new place and level of faith in your life that you've never dreamed before. And I'm going to help you to understand what it really means to walk by faith and not by sight. Just do it. Do what I've asked you to do. Don't talk about it so much. You can think about it all day. Just get up and do it. I need to lose weight. And do it. I need to work out. Do it. I think there's so many of us that we've talked ourselves into so many good things that we're robbing ourselves of actually seeing anything come to place in our life. Yeah. Until we talk, great. I mean, I feel, listen, speak softly, carry a very big stick. That's why don't get nervous around people who don't talk much, but you see them doing much or getting results. Don't get nervous around them. They're just a little bit, they understand the reality of doing rather than just thinking and talking. Just do it. What are you waiting on in your life? I need to see blessing in my life. I need to see breakthrough. Are you given? I don't care. Are you given? Probably not as much as I should. Start giving. I need to see breakthrough in my kids. Are you spending time with them? Are you loving on them? I don't feel like it. They drain me. You know what? Allow God. Yeah, they're tiresome, but they're blessings from the Lord. Get involved in your life. And all of a sudden, God will give you the strength you need to actually see things happen in your life. Okay. Don't use the excuse, well, I just don't have it in me. You have it in you.
That's right.
Do it.
Good.
I can't. You can. It's a mind shift. I always use Toby as an example. She hates me for it, but I'm going to use her anyway. When she first came to the gym, she was a mess. She didn't know where her life was going. And we have a good relationship right now, me and Toby. And she hated me. She didn't really like me at all. But we've been in 6 to 8 months now later. Toby is now a totally different person. She has done hard things. She's broken, healing, cried in my presence. We've got a great relationship. But you know what? But it's been good because she didn't quit.
That's right.
She kept going in saying, I got to do something about my life. I have a goal. I got to do something. All of a sudden, she looks totally different than she did 6 to 8 months ago, a year ago, because she made it up in her mind, I'm doing it. I didn't want to do it, but I'm doing it. And now she's part of a community and doing something because it's just a matter of doing it. I'm not just going to be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace in here today. Thank you, God, for the joy that you bring into our life of having you, but also the joy of actually seeing progress in our life and actually seeing you come through and actually seeing who we are in you. Thank you for the joy of that. Thank you, God, for helping your people just to step out and just do things. Thank you for surrounding them with people who love them, but also are going to push them to get to the next place in their life. Thank you for our people, God, who are not satisfied with just what is, but they want what you want for them. Yeah. And that they would understand the value of doing. God, help us, and this is hard to even say, God, cover it, but help us to understand the value of doing something even when we don't feel like doing it. Because it does require us to get out of our comfort zone and get out of how we're feeling that day or our mood. But God, give us the ability and the grace that we need to progress, whether it's in our relationship with one another, our relationship with our finances. God, help us creative ways, ideas that we can get out of debt. God, see success, see prosperity. God, even on our jobs, ways that we can help better the employment and the people that we're with around us. Thank you, God, that you've called us to be liked. You've called us to win. You've called us to grow. God, you've called us, God, to be a light and be effective wherever we go in our life. And I pray that you would just help people catch that in their life. Help them get off the sidelines and actually get in the game. God, and not let them go, Lord, until they do what you've asked them to do. Thank you, God, even this week. They're going to see the cliff and they're going to jump. Thank you, God, for giving them the wings and the faith that they need just to jump and to trust you that you're going to be there on the way down. Thank you, God, for them seeing that they have the faith that they already need inside to do what you call them to do, to be successful. Thank you, God, that the enemy is not going to have an occasion to bring up the past of what was, and that they're going to understand that what was already was. And I thank you, God, that it's already under the blood and that you're going to help people move on into what you actually have for them. And those that are in different stages, God, whether they're at the beginning of this journey, the middle, or they're about to be able to come into something great in their life, thank you, God, for giving them the ability, God, to be where they're at, to withstand where they're at, but also to keep their eyes on you and to move forward into all that you have for them. Move forward into all that you have for them, no matter what's going on, no matter what enemy's trying to bring, no matter who's leaving or who's going. Thank you, God, that you're giving them the ability to continue to move forward and stay the course, because we know that you're at the end of the course, and we want the blessing that's on at the end of the course. Thank you, God, for helping us to pass. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give God a great offering.